My name is Julie Kagawa, and you're listening to the Book Rec Podcast.
Vandaag in de aflevering hebben we Julie Kagawa. Onder andere sprak ze met ons over haar liefde voor anime, haar o zo schattige, maar van het schrijven afleidende honden en welk ding hoog op haar bucketlist staat. Welkom bij een nieuwe aflevering van Boekenrek. In elke aflevering van Boekenrek hebben we een auteur te gast voor een leuk gesprek, zodat jij meer te weten komt over je favoriete auteur. Al met al een podcast voor de echte lezers. Julie Kagawa, een Amerikaanse fantasy young adult schrijfster, ook wel bekend van haar populaire Iron Fae-serie, was afgelopen weekend in Nederland en België voor haar nieuwste boek Schaduw van de Vos. We spraken haar op de Antwerpse boekenbeurs, maar helaas is daar iets misgegaan met die opname, dus eigenlijk technologie is ook niet altijd even betrouwbaar. Maar daar had ze namelijk een grote aankondiging dat ze na Schaduw van de Vos-serie weer verder gaat met het schrijven van de Iron Fae-serie. Dus al jullie vertrouwde personages zoals Megan, Ash, Grim en Puck komen terug. Gelukkig spraken we haar ook nog aan het einde van haar tour in het Ambassadehotel in Amsterdam, waar we net een geweldige dag achter de rug hadden. We gingen namelijk met een paar gelukkige winnaars op een boottocht met Julie op de grachten van Amsterdam. Ook hebben we tijdens de tour een Julie Kagawa spreukenstrijd gehouden. Aan het einde maken we de winnaar bekend. Vergeef me voor mijn Engels en vergeef me voor mijn zenuwen, maar hier het gesprek met Julie Kagawa. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Thank you for coming and talking to our podcast.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Amsterdam.
Thank you.
Although you've been a few years ago.
I always love coming back.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, because you're on the last leg of your book tour right now.
I am. So after this, I get to go home.
Yeah. So. And sleep.
Sleep sounds very good.
Because right now we're in Amsterdam, and we started in Amsterdam. We went through all of the Netherlands and Antwerp also. But have you had time to see a little bit of Amsterdam?
A little bit. We just got back from the canal tour, and that was very nice. And I went to the Anne Frank House a couple of days ago. And that is, you know, I don't think you can say it was fun exactly, but it was very eye-opening and it's very powerful.
And had you had time to taste some food, like a stroop waffle we have here?
I have not. I haven't had anything. Though, last time I was there, I did have the pickled herring.
Oh, yeah.
the whole fish with the tail, and it just goes right down. I really liked it.
I've actually never tried that. I'm such a bad Dutch person. Yeah, congratulations on your new book, Shadow of the Fox. It's a fantastic read full of Japanese mythology. And can you tell us a little bit about how you got the inspiration for this book?
So Shadow of the Fox is an Asian fantasy based on Japanese myth, is what I like to tell people. But really, it's an anime in book form. I love anime and I love manga. And I was always, you know, I loved the old Akira Kurosawa movies like The Seven Samurai and Rashomon and Yojimbo.
Classics.
Yes. And I watched those, you know, when I was a kid with my dad. And then I discovered anime when I was a teenager and I really became obsessed. So Shadow of the Fox incorporates all of like everything that I loved about anime and Japanese culture, because I love samurai and ninjas and the history of Japan. So that's how that was inspired by it.
Great. Yeah, because some of the scenes already gave me an anime vibe.
Yes, it's like very Inuyasha, very Princess Mononoke. Yeah. So if you love those, then you'll feel very similar in Shadow of the Fox.
And it also felt like this one was a bit more gory than normal. Some scenes in the fight scenes were...
well, there are, you know, you're waving around these big long swords.
Yeah.
It's hard to like, stab somebody nicely.
That's right, yeah. That's true. So to me, it seems like that since 2010, you wrote like 2 books every year. does writing come easy to you?
I'd say that I love writing. I do love it, and I don't want to do anything else. But some days it doesn't come easy. Some days it's struggle. You really have to be disciplined. You have to sit down. My quota is 1,000 words a day. So no matter what, no matter what I'm feeling, I sit down and I write my 1,000 words a day. If I'm feeling inspired, Or if I'm not feeling inspired, I still sit down and I write 1,000 words a day. Because if I wait around for inspiration, sometimes, you know, I'll be waiting forever. And I have these things called deadlines. And you have to, like, meet your deadlines. So, you know, you do discipline yourself to sit down and, like, just write the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really hard. Do you have, like, a special place where you go?
My office.
Your office is in your home?
In my home. I have my own office where normally I don't have any distractions. Recently, though, I've gotten two very distracting dogs.
They're very cute,
and they're lucky they're so cute. Because they're very distracting because they're both young and they're brothers, and so they like to wrestle and play in my office. Yeah. And I'm like, be quiet, I'm trying to write.
You're too cute. I don't want to. And what would you say is the easiest part of the process of writing a book and the hardest?
The easiest part, I don't know if there is an easy part. I like editing. Because then the book is done and I'm just kind of fixing and tweaking as I go. The hardest part is actually writing the book.
Yeah.
From beginning to end is
to get yourself to write every word.
Yes.
And I heard that you had this idea for Shadow of the Fox before you wrote the Iron Fae series.
Yes, I did. It was actually the book that got me my agent, the first original version of Shadow of the Fox. It was actually, back then, it was called Kitsune's Heart, and it was an adult fantasy, but it was still Japanese myth. So I wrote that book, and my agent loved it, and she tried to take it around to sell it to publishers, but back then, there wasn't really a market for Asian fantasy. Nobody really wanted Asian fantasy. They said they couldn't sell it. So after a year of trying to sell it and not getting anywhere, she told me to write something else, that we're going to put this on the back burner for a while and just wait and come back to it later, perhaps. So that's when I wrote The Iron King, and that's actually the one that started my career. But I never really forgot, you know, that first book that I wrote, and I love that book. So, you know, after all this time, like, eight years later, I rewrote it as a YA and I pitched it to my editor, and you know, now, you know, diverse books is they're starting to get more and more, and it's much more of a thing, so they were really excited to publish Shadow of the Fox. And yeah. I'm so excited that it's finally come out. So.
Yes, your baby that you created 10 years ago is now finally seeing the world.
Here.
And I can imagine that it must have been hard to jump back into that idea you had 10 years ago.
Well, the two characters, the main characters, Yumeko and Tatsumi, didn't really change that much. Personality-wise, and the plot, the main overarching plot is still the same, but I did have to rewrite the entire first book from scratch because, you know, there was a lot of things that needed to change to make it YA, and a lot of things that happened that, you know, just needed to happen in the first book. So that's why I rewrote it completely.
Right. Did you have the idea in the back of your head for a long time, or did you have to dust off the notebooks that you wrote it in?
Oh, no, it was, I had the files saved. I had the first book completely saved in my computer files, but when I went back and read it, I realized that, well, it wasn't YA, it was more adult fantasy. It had like five points of view characters.
Oh, wow.
Yes. In the old fantasy, like the normal fantasy style, and I realized that, okay, I need to make it, you know, I'm going to make it two characters, two points of view, so just Yumeko and Tatsumi, so I had to get rid of all the other points of view, and then just kind of rewrite it with those two.
Oh, that must be painful.
That's why I started from scratch. I'm like, I'm going to not even look at this book, I'm just going to, you know, rewrite it with these two characters, and we'll go from there.
Great. And now a bit of a few random questions.
Sure.
What book are you ashamed of to admit that you haven't read yet?
Oh, let me think.
If you're gonna say Harry Potter,
no. No. I've read Harry Potter. Yeah. Like, I've read all the Harry Potters. A shame that I haven't read yet.
You're like, well, I'm sorry, I still haven't gotten to it.
I have such a big to-be-read pile. I really mean to read all of these books. But since I just visited the Anne Frank house the other day, I've never really actually read A Diary of Anne Frank.
Oh, yeah. It's very, you have to be emotionally stable to read it.
Well, yeah, then you go through the Anne Frank house, and of course you know, I realize that none of them survived. Only the father survived. So I didn't know that because I haven't read The Diary of Anne Frank. So it was kind of a little bit of a shock to fully realize that they all died.
Yeah.
So I will definitely have to go back and read.
Yeah, the Diary of Anne Frank. And you already saw the house, so that's really cool to see, and also very emotional.
Now I have some context to go with the book.
What is a guilty pleasure of yours? Like, what show or something do you... It's like a bit of a cheesy show, but you still love to watch.
I don't watch a lot of TV. So all of these shows, like Game of Thrones and any like Parks and Rec and all of these shows, I haven't actually seen because I don't watch a lot of TV. I play video games. I have lots and lots of hours of playing video games. Like right now I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2. And that's waiting for me when I go back.
I can't wait to go back to it.
So yeah, I wish I could, but I don't really watch much TV.
Okay, all right. So. Movies also not or
Movies I haven't, like the last time I went to a movie, I think it was, my goodness, when was it? It was a long time ago. I wait till they come out on Netflix.
Yeah.
Or Redbox.
Yeah, you have that in the...
Yeah.
All right. And can you tell us a thing that's on your bucket list?
Going to Japan, which is an easy one. That's at the top of my bucket list. I haven't been, and I want to go so badly. But right now, it's impossible with two very hyper dogs.
I'm surprised you haven't gone yet, because the whole book is in such detail about Japan.
And I love it. I watch, you know, like I said, I watch a lot of anime, and I watch Japanese movies where I'm trying to pay attention to the setting a lot. The old Akira Kurosawa movies I watch, and I watch for the setting and what do the houses look like and what does the land look like and the clothes and the roads, what kind of roads do they have, so all of that, you know, I watch it for research.
So that's where that's your research.
I watch anime for research.
I have to do research.
It's for research.
All right, and now so now we're going on to the fast round, and you have to give me an answer, this or that.
This or that. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
So.
Right. This is like A or B.
We'll start easy. Choose. Yeah.
Yes.
Tea or coffee?
Ugh, neither.
Yeah, I thought so, because I noticed probably in your case
I don't drink either.
Probably in your case it's Pepsi or Coke.
That's right.
Would you choose Pepsi or Coke?
Pepsi.
Yeah.
Because Pepsi is sweeter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Yeah. early bird or night owl?
Night owl. I don't get up before 9, usually.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I get up at 10.
So you probably also write at night.
Well, no, I write during the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
But when you don't have to get up to be in the office, that you can kind of get up whenever you want.
Yeah, that's
right. I play all my video games at night. My normal bedtime is around 2 a.m.
Well, that's what all the creators do, right?
That's right. That's
where all the, go to bed late.
That's where all the ideas come from.
That's where your brain wakes up at 2 o'clock. And Ronin or Gambit?
Nope, sorry.
That's just a joke. I'm kidding, I'm sorry. I would never make you choose between your children.
They're my kids.
Yeah. I know. the big marshmallow or Too Clever Redhead.
Too Clever Redhead. They're both, I mean, they both have their quirks.
Yeah. They're their dogs. They're her dogs, by the way.
They have their own Instagram if you want to see them. Their Instagram is more popular than my Instagram.
What's their Instagram? What's the name?
It's Ronin, R-O-N-I-N, underscore, and underscore, Gambit.
Yeah, and you should check it out because it's very cute.
They're lucky they're so cute.
Yeah. So with that, I wanted to thank you for taking the time for this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Do you have any last words for any listeners or readers of yours? Any advice maybe?
For readers, just thank you for reading my books. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And for all you aspiring writers, just remember that all of us, all authors, just were right exactly where you are right now, unpublished, unknown. We have no idea what we're doing. And the only way to get better is to keep writing. And remember that the only difference between a published author and a non-published author is that the published author never stopped writing.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
En dat was Julie Kagawa. En samen met haar hebben we dus ook een spreukenstrijd gedaan. In Julie's boeken komt namelijk veel magie in voor, maar er wordt nooit echt een spreuk uitgesproken. Dus we zijn samen met Julie op zoek gegaan naar de leukste spreuken die je kan toepassen in een van haar boeken. En de winnaar heeft Julie zelf gekozen. Luister maar.
And the winner is Marinka with Ash's Frosty Ice Make Me Nice.
En gefeliciteerd Marinka met het winnen van de spreukenstrijd. Ook gefeliciteerd naar de winnaars op de boekenbeurs, Margot, Camille en Nikita. Zij mochten namelijk hun spreuk zelf aan Julie voordragen op het podium. Margot had een prachtig gedichtenspreuk. Hide my true form, let my shell remain, I want to look human, but let my soul stay the same. Voor elke keer als ze in de Iron Fae hun ware gedaante van vee moeten verbergen. En Nikita met Nekodesu, voor elke keer als Grimalkin verschijnt of verdwijnt. En Camille met Draco ile vertatuur, zodat Ember als draak kan transformeren in een mens. Bedankt voor al jullie creatieve inzendingen en hier nog een paar noemenswaardige.
Ik ben Floor de Vos en mijn spreuk is Magica Scientia. En Megan gaat die gebruiken eigenlijk in het begin van het boek in de IJzerkoning, wanneer ze niet echt weet hoe het is in een nieuwe wereld in Nimmer Nimmer. En dan kan ze die spreuk gebruiken voor meer kennis te krijgen over die wereld en de magie.
Samantha Groeneweg. En het gaat over het boek De IJzerprinses, hoofdstuk 4, diefstal, pagina 73. Het is het deel waarin Map Megan in een eigenlijk levende ijspegel verandert. Tenebrae Immortuus. Met deze spreuk verandert ze Megan, of iemand anders naar haar wil, in een ondood standbeeld. In een eeuwige status tussen leven en dood. Altijd maar een beetje happen naar adem die nooit komt.
Dat was het dan weer voor deze aflevering van Boekenrek. Bedankt voor het luisteren en iedereen bedankt voor die leuke creatieve spreuken. Julie's nieuwste boek Schaduw van de Vos is nu verkrijgbaar. Als je houdt van spanning, avontuur en Japanse cultuur, dan is dit boek echt iets voor jou. Abonneer je om op de hoogte te zijn van alle afleveringen. En wie weet, zie ik jou bij de volgende aflevering.